From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, our newest book song, where we create a unique, one-of-a-kind song just for your book, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today's guest is Joanne Fawcett. Joanne has lived a life that many people would find hard to imagine. 7 marriages, surviving different forms of abuse, becoming a prison wife, and ultimately finding her way to a thriving life. Joanne, thank you for joining me on the Authors on Fire podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Pat, for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm excited to find out more about you. But before we get into your book, the series titled Toxic to Thriving, I just think you're so brave. What made you write about your life in such an open and honest manner? I'm sure that not everybody would feel free to do that.
Right. Several years ago, when I was on the UFO speaking circuit, a woman came up to me and said, "When's the next story coming?" And I said, "Oh, my husband will be, he writes all the time. He'll be writing something." And she looked at me and she said, "No, I mean your story." And I had never thought about writing about my mundane, ordinary life. And then several years later, and I was taking notes, and I had done some family history biography stuff or autobiography stuff when I was younger. But then several years later, I had a bookkeeping client who was an author and also like a book coach, book mentor, and she was running a writing group. And I joined the writing group and started writing about my woo side of life, but also about the husbands. And then it turned into a book. You know, COVID happened, and then I just kept writing, and then it was a book. And that was the beginning.
Isn't that funny how just a simple comment from someone who you don't know changes the whole trajectory of your life?
Yes, yeah. Yes. It was amazing. And I haven't seen her in years, but we are in touch through Facebook and stuff. So I keep thanking her for nudging me.
All right. Let's talk about the first book, Midlife Magic. It covers your first 6 marriages, as well as your experience as a prison wife. What were some of the most important lessons you learned from those relationships that perhaps you didn't fully understand at the time?
Great question. Mostly, through all of them, I've learned that I have to understand what my beliefs are and what's important to me and stand up for myself. And I had to learn the hard way that just because you marry somebody that goes to the same church as you at the time doesn't mean it's going to be a successful marriage. Doesn't mean you're both going to be on the same page. So being with somebody who has things, interests in common, but also is on the same page with core beliefs is really important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And sometimes, depending on one's age, if you get young, married young, especially where we're not really fully formed, you know, and you make that mistake of thinking, oh, this is the one. And then, you know, just through all honesty, people just evolve into 2 different creatures that they were meant to be. And at the time,
correct,
you know, when you're young, it's that's not the right person. Not that there's anything bad about that, but sometimes you find out that way.
Well, and as I tell people, it's like, you know, when you're in your 20s and you go to a church that doesn't believe in sex before marriage or living together, and, you know, you want to, you know, your hormones are raging and, well, you better get married. And so that's what I did too many times. So, and you just, again, I figured, well, if we go to the same church, then we must believe the same things about this, this, and this. Well, that didn't prove to be the case.
Exactly. No, I get that.
Yeah.
So this is a twist. One of the fascinating aspects of your book is your openness about UFO sightings, spirits, elementals, and magic. How did these experiences affect your understanding of yourself and your life's purpose? You had a lot of things going on at the same time.
I did. And when I was married to husband number 3, he was a funeral director. And that's when I had my first experiences experiencing feeling a person's spirit that had passed on. And because I used to go with him to funerals, and sometimes I would sing at the funerals, but it became a case a couple of times, I could feel the spirit of the deceased person like right next to me. And sometimes I could see them, floating above the audience when I was singing and the funeral and things like that. And later that, I had other experiences in different places where I could see and feel spirits and things. And it's, unless they're not a very happy spirit, it was always a pretty fun experience for me. So that happened early on. And then I left the church I belonged to. And when I met husband number seven, he had been involved with UFOs and space stuff in his military career. So I started learning more about UFOs and space science and things like that, and it really fascinated me. And I thought, well, why shouldn't there, couldn't there, why couldn't that be a possibility and a reality? And I immersed myself in his, understanding what he did for the military and his dad. And so then that's how I got on the UFO speaking circuit, and I, learned all about all kinds of stuff, and it was pretty fascinating.
Oh, I can imagine. Yes. Yeah. So Midlife Magic, maybe just give us a little peek into what the book is about and what you hope your readers take away.
Sure. Well, when I was in my early 40s is when I left the Mormon church. So, my life is pivoting, and now that's when I also became a prison wife. But I turned myself into looking at other things of interest, and I embraced witchcraft, and I, fully embraced the reality of UFOs and non-human creatures or people, beings. And other, people call it woo, but to me, it's just normal life now. So that's kind of, my life pivoted in my 40s, and it's pivoted again in my 60s. But that's why I chose that title, because my life was becoming very magical, and I have a very magical practice, and it happened when I was, in my 40s. So, and to me, that doesn't mean middle, now the middle point of my life, I've stretched my life out. It's like, oh, I got to live another 40 years to do what I want to do. So,
That's funny. It wasn't midlife then, no.
no, it's like,
Oh. So then the book titled The Prince Was Wrong, Leaving the Narcissist Behind. So this In this book, you reveal that your seventh husband was a narcissist. Maybe
yes.
take us back to the moment when you first realized that it was narcissism and not your own shortcomings, perhaps was at the root of many of the problems in the relationship.
Thank you. Well, he grew up as an only child, and he was an Air Force brat, so they were moving around a lot. And I knew he was spoiled. He didn't hide that he was spoiled. Humble was not a word in his vocabulary, and he thought that was funny. But I just thought, oh, here's this smart guy. He's fascinating. He's educated. I'm learning all these cool things, and it just didn't occur to me to, it's like, and I kind of knew not to poke, he called it poking the bear. You don't want to poke the bear and make him upset. And most of the time he had some really great ideas, and there were a few times when I realized, oh, he can get pretty angry, and when he's angry, because we're sitting in a prison visiting room, he's going to get quiet and stern and make me feel like I'm a 2-year-old. But I still went along with it for like 18, 20 years. We were together 25, married for 20. And it wasn't until like right before COVID hit when I realized, oh, I don't think I'm getting everything I need out of this marriage. And I took a psychic development class, and our closing ritual was cut the cord of something that doesn't serve you. And I thought, well, my relationship as it stands is not serving me. And I cut that energetic cord. And then I was getting the courage enough to start telling him, speak up, like things aren't working for me. And then COVID hit and we couldn't visit. So then I just started writing him, because we wrote all the time anyway, even though I only lived an hour from him, but I couldn't see him. And then, I just, now you're isolated. And my daughter said, well, why don't you move to Portland, to Oregon, and be near me during COVID? It's like, okay, that sounds like a great idea. And it wasn't until I moved here and I saw my future therapist sign that says I specialize in narcissistic abuse, I'm thinking, oh, that's what this is called.
Wow.
And it's not like we had any long drag out fights because he wasn't about doing fighting, but then proceeded, you know, the long, we did see each other a few times before we split up totally, but it was interesting because every time I would try to bring up what, you know, and calmly, but most of it was in letters because we couldn't talk very often, but it's like I would try to calmly bring up, you know, this is what's bothering me, this is what's not working for me, and he basically just turned it back in my face and make it seem like it was all my fault, you know, that he had nothing to do with it. And so
Yes.
that gets old.
Oh, yes, absolutely. As you're speaking, I was wondering, you said you were with him 25 years. Was he always in prison the whole time?
He was always in prison. I met him while he was in prison. He'd already been there like 10 years or so. No, probably, I think closer to 15 by the time I met him. And he's still there. He will, you know, he'll die in prison. He has a life without parole sentence.
Oh, Joanne, now that adds a whole nother layer of having a relationship with somebody. Oh my gosh. Oh gosh.
Yeah.
So, you know, many people hear the word narcissist, but they don't really understand what narcissistic abuse
Okay.
looks like in everyday life. Maybe share some of the red
Sure.
flags that readers will discover in the book titled The Prince Was Wrong.
And you know, I was laughing when you were saying that because his nickname is the Prince. That's why it was like, you know, and he always thought he was right because narcissists, and they can be your spouse, your work colleague, your teacher. It could be anybody in your life. It'd be your parent or your child. But anyway, it's like they always think they're right. They try to make you feel wrong or crazy. There may or may not be physical violence, but it's the fact that, you know, they never acknowledge you. They never acknowledge your needs. They never acknowledge, you know, what you've done that's good for the relationship or whatever. And, you know, numerous times I would bring up some, and I tried to tell him, it's like, you know, you're not always right. Oh, who thinks that? Everybody thinks I always have the right solution. But see, as long as, in my case, as long as I went along with his ideas, whether I carried them out or not, you know, things would be okay. It wasn't until I, you know, bucked the system and tried to, you know, do it my way that wasn't his way, you know, where it got a little dicey. And then when we split up, it's like, well, the good wife should be this, and this. It's like, are you crazy? It's like, are you nuts? It's like, there is no other prison wife that lives in this county in California unless they're living in the low income neighborhood that I don't live in, you know. And it was like, well, I let you live in my gorgeous house. I go, your gorgeous house is over 100 years old. It's falling apart. You know, I no longer can afford to keep paying for it like I have been. So it's like he just thought he, well, you know, I let you live in my family's house, so why are you ungrateful that you have to pay for things?
Oh my,
Yeah, it
yeah.
was his logic is amazing. And you just, now that I read the book because I'm doing a second edition with a happy ending at the end, it's like, or the happy part of the, you know, the happiest of the endings. And it's like, I just kind of laughed. There was no more anger. It's like I'm looking at this stuff that he wrote to me. It's like, oh, this is just silly.
Oh, wow. This is an amazing story, really, truly,
Yeah.
truly is. The subtitle of the book is Leaving the Narcissist Behind. What was the most difficult part of that process? And then what surprised you most once you were free?
The most difficult part was leaving a lot of my stuff in California because I didn't hire a moving van. I packed things and shipped as many things like in boxes through UPS that I could. I filled the car with my cats and my computer and clothes and came up to Oregon. So I left a lot of things, but again, you know, it's just things.
Things.
So, you know, it's not like I miss them and I don't have an apartment that's big enough for all of it anyway. So it's okay. And the things that my daughter wants of mine, you know, the three things that she wants from me when I go, you know, they're here. So it's like, it's not like she's, you know, oh, mom, why did you leave all the Christmas ornaments? You know, it's
Right.
like, I took what I could. I'm fine where I am. The thing that was the most lovely and surprising is this feeling of freedom. That I can finally be the kind of person I want to be. I don't have to apologize for myself. And I'm having I would have to say I'm having this surge of creativity. I'm now writing a cozy mystery with my sister, and we're just having fun. It's like no longer do I need to write about a healing journey. I'm writing about something that I just love, you know, mysteries and stuff.
Oh, I love that for you.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, good for you. You know, you found your way out.
Yeah. And I'm traveling. I've gone on 3 cruises now since I left him. So,
Good for you. That makes me happy. I like that. A Nicer Turn is Wisdom from My Grandmothers, that book. It's the third book in your Toxic to Thriving. What inspired you to focus on the lessons passed down through the women in your family? What meaning did that have for you?
This is my passion project. I had a psychic reading a few years ago, and my friend said, your ancestors want you to write their story. I go, well, they're dead. How am I going to do that? But I thought, okay, I'll take that to heart because I do listen to what I'm told. And then, skip forward a year or two from that reading, and I took a wonderful writing workshop with magical people. It was called Writing Between the Worlds, something about a crone. I can't remember the full title unless I'm looking at the book, but it was something about a crone, Once Upon a Crone, something like that. And, we were all older ladies. We were all mature women, and we would do meditations and then we would write. And in many of the meditations, I would get messages from my grandmothers, and I would get grandmothers showing up in these meditations. I thought, oh, well, there's something to this. And so then I'd been working with a channeling medium that I used to see in person when I lived in California. And so then I decided, well, I'm going to interview a bunch of my ancestors and see. And, it's like, and then the election time was hitting. And I thought, oh, now is a perfect time for me to speak up for women. And so I started, and it took many, many months. I interviewed my mom and 4 other grandmothers about their lives as women, and because they all lived through a suppressed society. There was a Cherokee great grandmother from the 1700s, and then my German grandmothers, and so from the 1800s down to present. And it was like I only knew 1 or 2 of them, and I only really knew my mom's mom. Her mom died when I was like 3. And it was so interesting to interview them and ask them questions. Well, tell me about your life, because obviously you guys didn't write down your history. They just didn't talk about themselves. And then it's like, what was it like to be a woman? How could you use your voice? And basically it was, this is how I did it. And I did it in a way so I didn't upset my husband and rock the boat. And, I learned about family patterns, which was lovely. So I learned their history. I learned how they were able to use their voices and their creative energies. And I learned patterns that I know. And some of these are good patterns. We have some talents that we share, but a lot of it was like, oh, a lot of relationship patterns. Like I need to break that chain. I need relationships to be better for my daughter and her children. I need that toxic element gone. Right. And because many of them, they had okay marriages, but they none of them ever said, this was my great love. And it was more like it was a marriage of convenience. He was a nice guy. He didn't hit me. We got along okay. We had a lovely life, but there was never any talk about, great loves. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Was there a particular piece of wisdom from one of your grandmothers that helped guide you through some of your difficult times?
It was, they were all, and now that they're dead and can speak their mind, it was so encouraging because they were so happy to see what I was doing, and they could feel the healing as we worked on this project. So that is very magical. They could feel the healing. We could all feel this healing that was going on. And just to talk to them and hear, and some of their affirmations or their little messages are very everyday sounding, but it was like, have the strength to find out who you are and stand up for yourself. It was basically because patriarchy is patriarchy and matriarchy is more about balance and service, and you can still have an equal partnership and everybody feels equal, but it's more about balance and community and service. And that's what I want. And was just like, it was more like encouragement, like stand up for yourself. You can do whatever you want to do. You know, being a woman's important and, you know, stand in your power type stuff. So they were very encouraging. And I know they would have liked several things in their lives to be different. Mm-hmm. But they're happy that I'm changing things.
Oh, wow. You're almost like a conduit between the present and the past. I mean, you're not only healing yourself and healing your future generations, you were healing them as well.
Yeah. And, you know, what it's done, at least in my family already, you know, it's like, because I post on social media and it's like I was asking questions like, well, like, so what talents or creative things do you do that you think you got from your grandparents? And it made my daughter think about, oh, from her dad's, you know, parents, here's what I got. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because it's helping, you know, my family think about what we got, you know, the good, especially the good things, what we got from our ancestors. And I know one of my granddaughters is a superb baker and she got that, you know, down through the lineage. And my great grandmother on my mom's side, you know, she was very proud of her baking. And it's so funny because she goes, well, you know, back in the day, it's like, well, we use lard because that's how you got the flakiest pie crust. And I mentioned that to this baker granddaughter. She just rolled her eyes and I use butter. And it's like, well, okay, I don't use butter. I use Crisco. But it's so funny. But, you know, like you can see these creative abilities passing down through, you know, and my one grandma, she was a really good gardener. And I can see that in my daughter and things. And it's just wonderful to see these things come through. And we've all had done, you know, most of us have been able to sew and do needlework and stuff. And, you know, my mom and all my grandmas did that. So that was really lovely.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Because it's like you're looking back and you could see the qualities in your grandmothers that perhaps planted the seeds for the strength and resilience that you, especially you, would later need in your own life. Yeah, you have them to thank.
I do have them to thank. And it's interesting because like the tagline is about, it's like, it's, you know, these women, basically, if you looked at them we're just ordinary women, you know, we're not famous, but yet they had strength and they did things in their community that mattered. And, you know, we can all be like that. We don't have to be famous. You know, we don't have to be in the limelight. There are quiet things that we can do in our lives for our families and communities that just make a difference. So
absolutely. Wow.
Yeah.
Across all three books, readers are going to witness this remarkable transformation. How would you describe the difference between the woman who entered marriage number 7 and the woman I'm talking to today?
The woman who entered number 7 would never be talking like this.
True, huh?
You know, it's like I'm a Leo and I'm very proud to be a Leo. And now the lion is out of her cage and I don't see myself as like, I'm not trying to bowl anybody over. I'm not trying to be the boss or be intimidating. I just want to be me and I want to be very transparent with everybody I meet. I will say my mind and, you know, you don't have to agree with me and that's okay. And I'm not going to tell you that you're just a terrible person because you don't, but because I don't feel like that. But it's like, I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be myself and say what I think and not get shut down for what I think.
Exactly. And that's a quality of a Leo. I should know I'm a Leo too. I get that.
It's a great quality.
It is. I'm proud to be a Leo.
Me too.
So if someone listening today gets this and they feel trapped in a toxic relationship and maybe believes that it's too late to start over, what would you want them to hear?
I would say it's never too late to start over. Now you may, you know, and I will tell people, it's like, okay, you know, if you're person is being physically abusive, you need to get out of there now.
Right.
And you need to call the authorities. I never did that when my daughter and I were being hit. I didn't call anybody, but you need to get out. And if there's a way to secretly stash away some money so that you have an escape
plan,
you know, mm-hmm. you know, do that. But thankfully I had family that could help, you know, they bought the plane ticket so I could leave town type of thing. Hopefully you've got some friends. And if not, most towns have some kind of shelter that you can go to in a pinch. But take care of yourself and do whatever. And even if you can't leave the relationship, you can do things to give yourself a break. You can do things for self-care, and they don't have to cost a lot of money. Just take a walk. And sit for 5 minutes and be quiet with yourself, but do find the strength to buoy yourself up, and know that you're lovable. Even if your person, your toxic person, is telling you you're a piece of crap, you have to know that you are a wonderful person and you are lovable. And they're just, shooting their mouth off, and it's usually because they feel like crap. So.
Exactly. That's typically the situation, but it's always, it does get turned around so that the other person feels like they have shortcomings and they are less than. So that's why I'm so proud of you, not only for
Oh,
what
thank
you've
you.
been through, but the fact that you cared enough to write about it and share it so openly. So perhaps that others can say, oh my gosh, she did this. I can do this too.
Yeah, and writing for me, it did become a major part of my healing journey. And so I'm really grateful for that gift, and I'm having fun writing, and I'm really having fun writing this new, it's like I never thought, oh, I can't write fiction, and now I'm just having a ball with it. So
Oh, I love that. So we can look forward to a new cozy mystery coming up.
yes,
Oh
and
my gosh.
it's funny because my sister and I, it's like all the family's in it, and it's based in her town. I've changed the names of the town and everything, but it's really funny, and we're using some history that happened in that area. So it's we're having a lot of fun, and we both read and watch a lot of mysteries. So it's like, okay, now we have to do this, and now we have to do this, and so we don't live, I live in Oregon. She lives in California. So we brainstorm a lot. And then we were on a cruise together. So we were brainstorming, and her husband was throwing in ideas, and my daughter's throwing in ideas. So it's been so much fun. So yeah.
And you have some cats, I heard, so that you can always
I
weave a cat or two into a cozy
yeah.
mystery, right?
I moved up here with three cats, and two of them were brother and sister. Well, the sister has passed on, and the older cat I had at the time passed on. I still have Winston, the brother. So he's, in the cozy mystery, my sister and I are going to be running the family diner. Well, my cat, and I've moved back into town, and my cat is, taking up, the window seat in the diner, and his sister is across the street in my best friend's bookstore. So there's going to be the two cats.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And I'm talking to myself in the cat. That's part of the conversation in the book.
Yeah,
I'm talking to the cat. I'm talking to the cat, and of course he answers me.
of course they do. I live like that too.
I do too.
Oh my gosh. All right, my friend, we've discussed quite a bit. Anything we missed that you wanted to highlight?
No, that the grandmother's book. The only thing to highlight is that it comes out July 2nd,
Yeah.
so that's exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. So I'm in a full court press right now to remind people that it's coming out and making sure all the my points are crossed, all my tasks are checked off. So
Yep, there's
yeah,
a lot to go on for a book launch. All righty, we'll look forward to that. If you
thank
would
you.
then give our listeners a place and space where they could find out more about you and your books and where to get them.
Sure, my website is joannfawcett.com. I'm on Instagram, Joanne Fawcett author, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm on LinkedIn. So I'm kind of everywhere.
Everywhere you're supposed to be, joannfawcett.com.
And the book is on pre-order on Amazon, and it's also on Goodreads if you want, there's a couple places to go check it out.
Okay. All right. So we talked about the book Midlife Magic, The Prince Was Wrong, Leaving the Narcissist Behind, Wisdom from My Grandmother's coming out in July, and our cozy mystery coming out one of these days.
Exactly.
I was so excited to talk with you just because I had so many questions. Thank you for sharing your life and you with us. And please come back anytime. You are always welcome here.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for all the work that you are doing and supporting authors like you do. I appreciate it.